Good afternoon. Yeah, that's better. That's better. I thought they must have eaten too much dessert. You know. Well, today, this afternoon, we're going to talk about "Oops, my bad." I don't know if that's a sermon you've heard a lot over the last few years, but we all make mistakes, and I'll be the first to admit it. I made many, many, and probably will meet that many more. But one thing I like to collect are church bulletin bloopers. Who does the bulletin here? Does Joy do the bulletin? Is she here? Oh, there she is. Sorry, Joy. But none of these are any she's committed, okay? Just they're probably received going around the internet. Well, first of all, I got one from the congregation where we're working, Highland Heights in Lebanon. I got one a few years ago, and the church bulletin came, and I looked at it, the title was, "Come Worship with the Happy People at Highland Heights." And beneath it was a picture of the auditorium. And that was fine, except for the auditorium was empty. There wasn't anybody there. It was just a picture of a bunch of pews. So I think I could go in the list somehow. Another one is in the church bulletin bloopers. He says, "Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our congregation." I've heard people pray that, you know. It's like, "For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs." Okay, this was in a church bulletin during the minister's illness. Okay, it said, the title, "God is good, Brother Jones is better." Oh, think about that for a while. You had too much pie, I can tell. Here's another one. "Please welcome Brother Don, a caring individual who loves hurting people." He loves hurting people. Oh, yes. And then, last of all, my favorite here. "A new loudspeaker system has been installed in the church building. It was given by one of our members in honor of his wife." No supper tonight. No, this. Well, the book of James chapter 3 verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many ways." Amen? Amen. But why do we stumble? Why do we make mistakes? I don't think most people want to make mistakes. But part of the reason several reasons we'll mention is that people make mistakes because a lot of time they're just ignorant of the facts, or they have faulty information to base their decisions and actions on. Some people talk about the Iraq invasion. A lot of it was built on faulty information that they had. And a lot of people make poor judgments on the information that they have. Look with me in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And poor Peter, he's probably known more for making mistakes than he is for preaching the first recorded gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. But he comes out, and Jesus asks his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, he asks them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they start giving the responses. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. And then he asked the apostles, "Okay, now you've been around with me, you've seen me in action, you've heard my teaching, who do you say that I am?" Now, that to us, this may be just a Sunday school lesson you've heard, maybe a flannel graph or something, but this is the most important declaration in all of the Bible. Because Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what Jesus came to reveal to us. And if we don't believe that, if we don't understand that, we can't be saved. That's primary. That's in first importance, to understand that Jesus is God in the flesh. So Jesus blesses him and says, "And I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock," or before in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So God revealed this to Peter. He knew who Jesus was, although he really didn't understand what that meant. Because later on here, he tells them not to go out and tell anybody about this, okay? Now, which is kind of odd because why? I just made the greatest declaration of all times and you're telling us not to tell anybody. Well, it's because they really didn't understand. They're still thinking of a Messiah as David on a white horse, you know, a general, and come and get the Romans out. And so they still need to learn what that's all about. But he starts to explain to them in verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Okay, so all they hear, or at least Peter, all Peter hears is he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to suffer, and he's going to die. He said, I'm going to be raised, but that part he didn't hear. And Peter's shocked. Peter just upset. He's frustrated. Lord, did you forget you're the Messiah? Nobody can lay a finger on you. So Peter takes Jesus aside, verse 22, and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? Peter, that might be one of the worst mistakes you made at all times. And then look, he said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, get me behind Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. One big mistake that we don't want to make. But people make mistakes not only for faulty information or processing of that information, but people make serious mistakes because they just get in a hurry. Proverbs 19, verse 2 says, desire without knowledge is not good. Or, I'm sorry, Proverbs 19, 2 says, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. In other words, haste makes waste. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 4. 2 Samuel chapter 4. Becky is, she buzzes. Becky's kind of like a mom. She doesn't walk any. She's kind of like, she just really buzzes and works and fast and everything. But in her past life, she used to be late a lot, though, still. And when she was in high school, she was, I can tell this has been cleared, okay? She was in band, marching band, played the flute. And so she was late for getting in her dad's car. He was going to take her to catch the bus. And her dad is the epitome of patience. And he would always drive real slow and everything. Didn't matter if you were late or what, he would have that one. And Becky's late, so she grabs her band uniform. She has, you know, T-shirt and Bermudas and tennis shoes, but she put on her band uniform, but she was in such a hurry that she forgot to get her suspenders to hold up her pants. So when you play a flute, typically you use two hands to play a flute, typically. So she's out there marching in the band, and it's a band contest, not just a halftime of football. It's in a band competition, and their director said, whatever happens if you drop something, you just leave it. You don't go out of marching. Oh, wait a minute, you're getting ahead of me. You're getting ahead of me. Yeah, you're right. She marched right out of her pants. But she had on her Bermudas, okay? You know, it's real cute. You know, it's just like, but haste makes waste. Look what happened here. Mephibosheth in verse 4. 2 Samuel 4, 4. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was about 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. So we've all been maybe in an accident or forgot things. You know, not all mistakes are sinful. Some are definitely sinful and separate us from God. Other mistakes are just mistakes, you know, accidents. Maybe we caused them ourselves or what. But we can also see where we make mistakes just because we're young. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And it's not that children aren't intelligent, but they don't have experience. They really don't have wisdom because they don't have life experiences. Tell one on myself is that I went with my family to the neighbor's farm. They had a little pond. And we all went in the pond. And of course, I was probably three or four, whatever. And they gave me this inner tube and say, here, you, with this inner tube, you can go out in the water. So I go out in the water, and I'm in the inner tube and floating along. And I thought, well, I'm here inside this inner tube. I can just let go because I'm protected. I'm here in this. And I went down to the bottom of the lake. And somebody pulled me out and coughed and everything. But it's not just me. So you know that Becky didn't marry somebody. She was about that age on the playground hanging upside down from the monkey bars. And she thought, what would happen if I let go? And she found out. So we make mistakes because of our youthfulness, because of lack of information, because of haste. But also, and worse so, is we make mistakes because of emotional blindness. Emotional blindness. Now, there's a lot of emotions that blind us. Probably the first that come to our mind is anger, right? Somebody gets so mad that, well, they can even commit murder. Not too long ago in Florida, there was a man there that drove about 145 miles up to his son's wedding, participated in the wedding. After the wedding, he stopped at a convenience store to get some snacks and whatever. And some guys were in a car beside him, some of that really loud music, boom, and he asked them to turn it down, and they did, and they got an altercation. And the man gets a gun out of his glove compartment and shoots one of the kids to death. And then now he's the rest of life. That family mourns the loss of that teenager, and he's in jail for the rest of his life because of emotional blindness. It's really bad. But there's other emotional blindness, like love. You know, or it's really not love. It's more like infatuation. You know, some guy meets a girl and all of a sudden he wants to propose. And, you know, those, all those. Well, remember what happened to Samson. You know, Samson lost his hair, lost his life over infatuation. But one here in the Bible, another emotion is depression. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll read about Elijah here. And Elijah was an awesome man. Okay, he's used by God in a powerful way. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Okay? He was one tough dude. Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as one of one as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she's threatening Elijah. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He's anguished because God had used him in a powerful way. But now this lady, she threatens him. And because of the threat, he runs scared and takes off and goes into hiding. And then he gets this upset with himself for doing that, and he just falls into a depression and asks God just to let him die. And when people are getting depression, they can't think clearly. You know, they maybe think the whole world's against them, or nobody cares about me, or nobody's serving God. Well, that's kind of what Elijah thought here, and he thought he was the only one. And then verse 5, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And when he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So once he was rested, once he was nourished, then he was able to come out of that, and God blessed him and gave him strength to continue his journey. So people make some serious mistakes, and he was asking God to take his life, you know, because he was going through an emotional blindness period. But not only that, people make the most serious mistakes when they don't allow God to direct their lives. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Because of sin and stubbornness in our hearts, we won't let God direct our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You know, nobody likes to be told what to do, because you feel like you're being treated like a kid, right? A child. Even children don't like to be treated like children. And so it's just natural, and it's hard for us to die to self. It's not natural. It's part of that upside down world, and we say no to self and yes to Jesus. Think about Pharaoh, when Pharaoh was being tested and tried with all those plagues, and he just hardened his heart, suffering needlessly, unnecessarily. But because he wouldn't let God be God in his life, he suffered tremendously, a big mistake. Well, what should we do when we make mistakes? Well, if it's a sin, we need to confess our sin and repent of that sin. Look with me in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And obviously, that's one of our purposes for our invitation song. If someone is needing prayers and forgiveness, it's one of, it's not the only. Sometimes it's to identify you want to become members of this congregation, or you want to become a Christian, or maybe just have some struggles in your life. You're asking for God's blessing. I think sometimes we limit too much our invitation. But Psalm chapter 32, Psalm chapter 32. Verse 5. David says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So that's how we deal when we make a sinful mistake. It's not just something, oh well, or everybody makes mistakes, or nobody's perfect. No, it's a sin. You committed a sin. You shouldn't have, and you did, and you realize that. And so you ask God for forgiveness. The passage that we all know well, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But besides confessing, admitting and confessing our sins, we should learn from our sins as well. You know, if you keep repeating the same mistakes or keep sinning in the same way, that's not very smart. That's not wise. So we should learn from our mistakes. And I see where Peter, he made mistakes, but he came back and he was served. You know, he denied Jesus, but he makes it right with Jesus. And he tells Jesus three times that he loves him, and he shows that love. And God knows his heart. And so now he goes from somebody who denied Jesus to somebody who's being chosen to preach the first recorded gospel sermon. What a blessing. Now, Judas, on the other hand, didn't learn from mistakes. Made a mistake, yeah, I made it, and couldn't handle it, but wouldn't go back to God, wouldn't repent, and went out and hanged himself. And so we don't need to be crippled by our mistakes. Our mistakes need to be our tutor, our teacher, and we grow by that. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, but one thing I do, Paul's speaking, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And number three, we should learn from the mistakes of other people. You know, you don't have to commit everything. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. If I were writing the Bible, and I would kind of hide some of those activities that David had. You know, that's kind of embarrassing. That's not good. Or of course, we see how Israel was so blessed, and yet they would turn their back on God. Well, that's sad. But God forgave David of his sins, and we can learn from that. We can learn, you know, to realize that we have to obey God at all times and not commit adultery and commit murder. And, you know, we can be encouraged how God accepted him back. And so the Bible's full of passages that can help us to learn from other people's mistakes. And last of all, we need to treat those who make mistakes with compassion. You know, there's kind of a mob mentality, whether you call it bullying or, you know, you see it on the news. We love to make these celebrities and gods, and yet first time they do something stupid, then we all jump on them and they talk bad about them. And there's just, you know, policemen are especially targets of that mob mentality. If, you know, they can do everything right, but let one policeman somewhere do something that's not right, and all of a sudden everybody loves to talk about how bad these people are. But we need to be compassionate. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy." I'm sorry. I was reading 16. "And find grace to help in time of need." Verse 1 of chapter 5. "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Verse 2. "He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness." So, if somebody amongst us makes a mistake, whether it's a simple mistake or whether it's a serious and sinful mistake, we need to have compassion. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says that, I can quote it really well in Portuguese. It says that if a brother is overtaken in fault, you who are spiritual, restore such one in spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. In other words, hey, if he's in sin, he needs help. He doesn't need gang mob mentality. He doesn't need people to beat up on him. He needs people to get beside him, because we ourselves are subject to sinning as well. Well, those are some of the ways, the causes and ways that we, and why we make mistakes. But the important thing that we remember is God is willing to forgive our sins and to remember them no more. We're going to stand and sing a song and invite you, if you need prayers from the church, if you need strength, whatever your need may be, let's stand and sing.
Again, wonderful story of love, why we all so strange. Wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love, though you are far away, wonderful story of love, still it doth call today, from Calvary's mountain, down from the crystal bright fountain, in from the dawn of creation, wonderful story of love. Wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Jesus provides a rest, wonderful story of love, for all the pure and blessed,
Rest in those mansions above us, where those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Story of love, wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love.
Would you remain standing, please?
FH, thank you very much for a very informative Bible class and two wonderful messages today. Delighted to have you and Becky back with us. If you happen to be visiting here today, we're glad that you've come our way, and we hope you'll come back and visit with us every chance you have. As previously mentioned, the next chance will be Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Doug Burleson will be here in the auditorium as part of our summer series, which is Promises in the Midst of Challenges. His specific topic Wednesday evening will be guiding children to grow in the faith. There are all the other classes for the other age groups will meet Wednesday night. The adults will be in here, and we hope you can, everyone, be back for that. If you've not had the opportunity earlier today to partake of the Lord's Supper, it is prepared for you in the faith and family classroom in the annex. You can exit at the back of the auditorium during the singing of our closing song, and if needed, you will be directed to that classroom. If there are no other announcements at this time, Clay will lead our closing song, number 191.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, for all the way He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we consider it a privilege to be here today. We're thankful for this day and being surrounded by such a great group of people to be encouraged by. We're especially thankful also for F.H. Gates and his messages today and his example and spreading your word throughout this world. Help us as your people to go from here to try our best to let our light shine, to be people that are obviously Christians, and that people notice us, and that we can try our best to build relationships and keep the devil out of our lives and build each other up in the faith. We ask that you would help us do that throughout this week as we live for you, and help us to lean on each other when we struggle and to always, of course, rely on you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, and most of all for your Son and his willingness to come to this earth and die for us. We're thankful for that. We ask that you would forgive us when we fail you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.